nice taste and there's nice musical flavor, then it is so much easier to just relax into the atmosphere of the restaurant. With the relax, I mean you let go of everything else.
Thank you.
with this great pleasure that I bless you in this, doing this wonderful celebration. I need to find my glasses. One moment, and there must be somewhere. Just then you really know you're getting older, and you search like a lost soul for your glasses. Is it possible for you, Govindananda, and all devotees there, to give me the fourth canto? Listen, fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, text 30, 30. 4, 11, 30. Is it there? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. My dear devotees, my dear disciples, also all of you who are with us now on the internet, maybe you look from Dubai, maybe you look from America, wherever you are, I want to extend to you a warm greeting, and I'm very honored to be in your presence today. I believe every human being wants to be loved, and when there are so many wonderful people like you coming to congratulate and celebrate the birthday, it is a very great occasion. I moved. Even yesterday I received birthday greetings from Costa Rica. I don't know exactly where that is, but it is not close to Zagreb. So I'm very grateful. Now it does say in the transcendental word, when you have birthday, you should not just receive, but you should give. The birthday is meant for the birthday child or the one who celebrated as an occasion to think deeply about his life and then contribute to the lives of others. I think the best thing which we can contribute to the lives of others is what we have realized or learned about Krishna. Maybe at times it is even more important to share what we have learned about the way to Krishna, how to reach him, how to come closer to him. And I always feel that we meet as devotees one-on-one and want to share properly, then we should share what we have experienced on our journey and what has helped us to go on our journey with more vigor, more enthusiasm, more strength. And what has helped us also to overcome our own obstacles, because the human being learns from no other source as much as he learns from another human being. Similarly, the devotee can learn about his life or about devotion best from other devotees. Only a few months ago, in the month of November, end of October and the month of November, I was very fortunate to again be allowed to stay just near to Giriraj and offer him what I consider one of my most important services, the Naam Seva, chanting the holy names. With me there were Rangadevi, Rangadevi was also nearby and sometimes cook. But there was Rangini as the main cook and coordinator of the other cooking, and Ananda Chaitanya, they were with me for the fourth or third year. And there were other devotees staying in other places, but not exactly in where I stayed, which is a beautiful encampment with nice kadamba trees are also here. This, by the way, is the flowers of kadamba. If you have never seen it but heard about it, there were jasmine trees. And right behind our house there was a big assembly of tulsi flowers. It just looked almost like a a forest of tulsi flowers. And just also nearby was a family of bamboo trees, and at the root of these trees there was a cobra. I was first a little afraid, because one Bridge Basi friend has come and said, "Do you know you're living with a cobra?" Hare Krishna. No, I didn't. Where is the cobra? He told me. It was just a few meters away from the tulsi where I sometimes sat and chanted. But I noticed the cobra also became my friend. I was chanting, and not often, but once or twice I saw the cobra, and she checked me if I was chanting properly. And that was not so good, but it was good enough for the cobra to protect me. So this is a little bit the place where I stayed. And after, I believe, 2 weeks, I developed what I always develop, something like a period of dryness when I chant a whole month. It was somehow the mind and the senses became exhausted from sitting so long and just pronouncing so often the holy name with the lips and with the muscles. Everything became a little bit difficult. So during that time I was forced to go a little bit deeper and understand something about spiritual practice, or at least apply something about Krishna conscious practice which I may not have applied before, some insights which were necessary to help me. Well, let me see, do we have enough oxygen? I believe there's one window, but another window is closed now. We open the door and we will keep it open most properly. Good. Mm. And I detected something not on a theoretical basis, but on a practical basis, which helped me so much to come out of the dryness. And as I discovered the secret in Krishna consciousness, which I had known theoretically already, and applied it, I could really understand things which I had not understood before on a practical level. And today, I would like to share this with you. It is the third part of our lecture series, The Hidden Secrets of Bhakti. And I believe it is a good moment to share it, because all of us are in good spirits, we are well rested, we have taken prasadam or not. It's actually good for some of us to eat only as much as we can digest. That may be a new discovery for some of you. So I feel very, very inclined, and also very, let me say, when you share something which is precious to you, you first look at your audience and say, do I want to share it at all with these people? And because today I'm together with such a loving group of devotees and such a, let us say, good atmosphere, that I think, yes, I want to share it. I will share spiritual secrets like it is done in our tradition. It is called Parokshavada. I will talk indirectly about it. I will not say, in other words, everything about it, because I feel what I have to share with you is something which you need to discover on yourself. I will share with you an entry point into a beautiful forest of secrets in Krishna consciousness. I guess that about 70% of you will not use this entry point because of your momentary situation of not being so practical about your spiritual life. But I know that 30% who will understand what I share with you will use this entry point, and they will change within the coming year and become very advanced. And when the other 70% see, my God, here are some God brothers and God sisters who made so much advancement, I like to follow them. I don't like to follow Guru Maharaj. I follow my God brothers. After all, there is something like peer pressure. I also want to look good. So this is a little bit my tactic. I will not say everything, because no one likes to share all his spiritual realizations with a group of listeners who may not be willing to really listen so carefully. But I will share something with you, and please listen and think. Even those who are not often thinking about philosophical things, try to figure out. He's saying he wants to share something, but he doesn't share everything. I'm curious to know what he really means. I'm really curious. I don't want Sachinanda Swami to keep a secret before me. I want to find out his secret. Think like this. Just in a feel intrigued and provoked. So I hope I have now everyone on the edge of his seat. This is an American way of saying it. But now, edge of the seat.
Thank you.
Have you said Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. See how many he said it. I will read from Srila Prabhupada. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. Dasharoy, I have seen that you have not paid full attention, and I will repeat this for you. It will help to hear two times. Please try to make up your mind. Do you want to listen to this lecture, or maybe you want to celebrate and eat torta? Then that is fine. But you have to now be here. If you're the whole material world. That may include you also. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusion conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. Have you ever thought that maybe 98% of our time we are in illusion? This illusion comes about when we think I am Sachinanda Swami or any other name. I am this body who's 60 years old now and who celebrates his 60th anniversary, who believes the young boys and girls who tell him congratulations for your 60th birthday. Yeah, that's me. That's you, your divine karma. As long as one believes this, it has to remain in the material world, what Prabhupada says. Most of our lives is unfortunately spent in the identification with our physical body and our own concepts or ideas of what we are and what others are. Most of our life is not spent in knowing I'm an eternal servant of Srimati Radharani and I'm serving Krishna. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, and I have nothing to do with the positioning of my soul in this present human existence. I have only something to do with this, and that my body is a brilliant opportunity to become free from illusion. My mind and body are not identical with me. My interests are different. And I refuse to be a servant of the illusory life based on wrong identifications. I don't want to be the servant of the body and the mind any longer. I wish to make this statement to my body and my mind. welcome in my life. You are very much welcome, because you can help me to render service. But please agree to be engaged by myself, whose interest is to experience the love of Radha and Krishna, who has this as an interest. This sounds too protestful. I refuse, is a good word, to be active in illusion any longer, because it makes me suffer so much and I can't serve Krishna. As long as one is not fixed in this understanding, one will live in shadows only, not reality. Also, it is called shadow Krishna consciousness or shadow Nam. The name will only be a shade. Come out of the darkness, walk into the light. And that happens only if you learn the art of Bhuta Shuti. Skanda Purana says, Devam Bhutvam Bhutva Devam Yajet. If you wish to serve a spiritual being, you yourself have to become one. Because this may be a difficult philosophical concept, I would like to give a very nice explanation, which I take from a lecture which Prabhupada gave in Honolulu. Honolulu. Oh, Honolulu. It is Hawaii, isn't it?
Hawaii, yeah.
And it sounds very flowery. Prabhupada here speaks about this essential secret which I want to share with you. That if you want to be with Krishna, you can't do that when you want to be in the land of shadows, or if you stay in illusions. If you want to serve Krishna, who is spiritual, you have to also become spiritual. At least your concept should be spiritual. Hare Krishna. I want to bring Gadadha, because he's also a little elderly now. I think he would prefer a chair, is this correct? He's a stressed out manager that he needs. There is a chair for you. Yes. Please make this then come. You led the wildest kirtan of all of us. That is very good to see. The fire is, if the fire is noch da, würde ich sagen. So Srila Prabhupada makes this point so clear. To serve a spiritual being, you yourself have to be spiritual. And he says like this, and a devotee cannot be of bad character, because Krishna is Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Pavitram means pure, so the impure cannot approach him. Now he gives an analogy. If you want to enter fire, just imagine. Does it want to enter fire? Yes, listen very carefully. If you want to enter fire, you must be fire yourself. If you are not fire, you will burn. The example is given. Krishna is a big fire, and we are sparks of fire. We are also fire, but very small. The spark of fire can remain within the fire, and then it is beautiful. But as soon as it falls, pat-pat, Prabhupada makes the sound. You know, when this, maybe you have been with, when you were young, you made fires, and sometimes the sparks fall out of it. It makes this sound, pat, pat. But as soon as you fall out, this pat, pat, and separate from the fire, then the spark is extinguished. No more fire. It is black. Charcoal. That's all. So if you want happiness, then we have to dance with Krishna. But I cannot dance with Krishna if I'm not pure. Krishna is Pavitram, Paramam, Pavam. Pavitra means the supreme pure. If you want to take pleasure in the company of Krishna and dance in the rasa dance, then you have to become pure, purified. This is Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, to become free of all material designations. You know, this process means Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, to become free of all designations. This may be difficult when we go through our life, you know, when someone phones us by our name, you know, and you say, not here, I'm practicing the spiritual life, I'm not the body, I'm not the name, you know. Or if you have to sign your passport, you know, or get a visa, and they ask you to sign with your birth name, you know, Milomir, Radomir, or whatever is your name. And you say, this is not me, really. It is good when you need to escape trouble. Like, I remember I was once in the draft office. How do we say draft office? That's a difficult word. Where you need to go when you go to military service? Who knows the Croatian word?
Recruitment.
Vojni
ured.
Vojni
ured.
Vojni
ured.
Vojni.
It's military.
Yes.
Vojni ured.
Vojni ured. Huh? Then you go to the Vojni ured. Is it the right word? You go into this office, you know, I went into the office, I was a young devotee, and they said, next one who comes in for physical check-up is Mr. Torsten Pettersson. I remained sitting. Mr. Torsten Pettersson, please come. I heard it on the loudspeakers. I deliberately remained sitting. Is Mr. Torsten Pettersson here? We heard he reported at the entrance of the Vojni. Wie sagt man, Einziehungsbehörde oder so in Deutsch. I didn't say anything. Then they came out and yelled in the room, Mr. Thorst Pedersen, you are here somewhere. Everyone went, I'm not Mr. The other people went, I'm not. And they came to me, you must be Thorst Pedersen. I said, no, I'm not the body. This was the beginning of a series of discussions. And at the end, I was released by the military office. It was absolutely crazy. And not useful for the Third World War. But I was not satisfied with this. I said, I want to speak to some intelligent people here. Where is your boss? Before you release me, that's crazy. I was one. It's my right as a German citizen to speak to your boss. And they knew I was serious, so I came, and then I had a lovely discussion with the head of this on the basis of Bhagavad Gita. I said, This is not crazy. This is the real knowledge. I'm a monk. I'm dedicating my life to preach this. We are parts of God. All religious traditions speak of this. And this does not refer to our body, which will go to the grave. It refers to our eternal essence as souls. And it is very bad for a German high-posted officer to dare to call this crazy. It's a shame on your office. Are you serious? I'm very serious. Even if you have to put me to prison for this statement, I will go into prison. This is the most holy thing. How can you? Wait a minute. Are you a monk or are you a sect member? I said, this is an ancient tradition. This Krishna consciousness is not something new. And I've had brought the Bhagavad Gita with me. Look, here's Sanskrit. Look what the big thinkers of the world think about it. You know, we had always this Albert Einstein says, Thoreau says, Hesse says, Mr. Hermann Hesse, very respected in Germany. And you know, our movement may be new in the West, but in India it is very established and it is going back thousands of years and it is now coming to the West. He said, and you are serious? Yes, I'm serious. You can ask my mother. And then they phoned my mother and the mother says, he has a little thick head, he's very strong-minded, but no, he is serious. He has left everything, school, education, a career, to be with this and to follow this. Acharya. No, he didn't say Acharya. I'm sorry. All right. Can I have a Bhagavad Gita, please? I'm not so knowledgeable about this. I gave him a Gita. And it was very pleasant. It was a very good discussion. The people, the doctors were unfriendly to me, but this board, you know, who makes the decisions and who are, you know, educated people, they understood this is true. And what I want to bring out here, for practical reasons, yes, we sometimes, when someone says, are you Mr. Thorsten Pettersson, on the immigration office when I come to Delhi, for instance, and I say, no, I'm not the body. You know, it is difficult. For practical reasons, we must still maintain or keep a foot in this world, you know. But our inner orientation, if we wish to detach from the illusion of material world, must be that we come to the understanding I am really a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of Radharani. This can go very far. I said to you, it is I'm talking about something, but in the scriptures there are meditations that you think that you are a servant of Radha. You have not a male identity any longer, you know, this male body, and you are sitting on a pathway in Vrindavan crying for your mistress to come and find you. And as you cry and you chant the names, you hear the anchor bells of Radha approaching and calling you, come, come to me, don't cry. I have heard your request to be accepted in your constitutional position. That's how Prabhupada says it, in your real identity. Come to me now and start your real life of joy and spiritual life. It can go so far, but because I know that these things start to get internal and very, let me say, personal, and some of you are not so interested in this, I will not talk about it. I will only hint at this area. So, what I think you should all be as interested as you are interested in your next breath. You know, imagine your next breath doesn't come, no air. You will become very interested in the next breath. You will. Yeah. You know, I think I will tell something now which is of that much interest as your next breath is. If you want to wake up from this misery, the material existence of repeated birth and death, you need to practice now, I am not this body. And positively, aham brahmasmi, I am an eternal spiritual soul. This is the beginning of sadhana. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a manual for sadhana, we find a verse. Unless a person performs the Bhuta Shuddhi ceremony, none of his spiritual activities will give any result. Japa, Homa, etc. will not bring any result without practicing this process. I will soon say what is the process. Even if they are performed according to the prescribed rules and regulations. Let us be a little bit more clear now. You may do all what you do, but it is like offering ashes into a fire. In other words, it will not increase the fire. If you do not practice what in our tradition is called detaching from illusion, if you maintain the illusion and continue in the illusion that I am a German, I'm a Croatian, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I am intelligent or I am less intelligent, your spiritual life is a shadow. It will not nourish you properly. And you will remain one of these many unfortunate souls who have gotten the greatest opportunity but who have not taken it and who are therefore still in illusion. The Bhuta Shuddhi prayers, which is really, you know, to come to the spiritual position of who you are, means, in essence, you just need to do a few steps in your understanding. Because your understanding of life describes how you will live your life. So, I think of Hari Prasad, who is our great surprise at this birthday. He came from the town of New York, so far. He had an understanding, this will be good for my spiritual life to make this journey. And therefore he didn't stay in New York, but he flew, what is 6,000 kilometers? A lot of kilometers. To come here and to dance here and to everything. And understanding is very important in spiritual life. It's called in spiritual practice you have to have sambandha jnana, the knowledge who you are and who is Krishna. That will describe your life. If you don't understand I'm really a soul and I'm serving, my purpose is to serve Krishna, you will spend your life making money and eating, sleeping and trying to enjoy and be secure in this material world. But if you understand, I'm really a soul, you will think, there are opportunities for me to render service. I remember there was a a very moving scene just in the Sangha Mela. I was speaking, there was a young Mataji, brilliant in the sense of intelligent, has a very good job, and very well posted in society. And then I had one devotee with me in the room, who was an older devotee, and who was supposed like to be the traditional situation. So the Mataji spoke. She wanted to explain why she felt attracted to Krishna consciousness to a degree where she would like, at least for a good amount of time, to give up her beruf, her job, well-paying job, and live in a temple situation. And she said like this, you know, I somehow read I'm not the body, and I think it's time now to act accordingly. This is what the young bhakti said. So I noticed when she said this, my male assistant, who was an older devotee, started to go down with her head and be clearly moved. And I pretended I was only talking with my guest, with the young person, but I looked and I was seeing he was crying. So when that young Mataji had left, I just said, "Why are you crying? Are you hungry?" Or and I wanted to find out. No. Yes, he said. No. And then, yes. Would you like to eat? Or, I'm not hungry like that, Guru Maharaj. I'm hungry for real spiritual life. When this young person said, I understood that. I'm not the body. I'm not all this. It's now time for me to act accordingly. I thought, I'm facing my life. What am I doing? This young greenhorn, this young person has understood and is willing to do a sacrifice for her eternal spiritual life. And I'm just living in my self-constructed comfort zone, more or less utilizing my knowledge to live comfortably in this world, My physical size increases, my weight increases, my anxieties increase, and I'm just not. And I thought, wow, so nice that you say this. I also think, I am convinced that I am also the servant of Radha. I'm convinced of this, and I have a conviction that I should start the ecstatic life of Krishna consciousness. Wow, this Mataji is our guru, but we don't tell her, otherwise she gets proud and everything is ruined. I was remembering at that time my experience in Vrindavan. I had chanted the holy name, I had come there, and I was eating, and there were two excellent Vaishnavas who were serving my attempt to become deep in bhajan. But here I was, being very dry and not connected really. And as I was thinking, what will help me now in Vrindavan? I do remember reading Bhajan Rahasya at that time, and this verse came out. Be in your natural position, as a soul, and render service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure. and who lives in all living entities as the super soul. And then you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. I understood. Wow! This is Buddha Shuddhi in the Bhagavata. It explains here, I should dismantle my illusion, I should understand I'm a soul, and I should serve the Lord of all bliss who's in my heart. Maybe I should pray to the super soul to help me control my mind, and I did it. And I will now chant not as Sachinandan Swami, that tragic story which started in Hamburg. When I was born, I would actually chant as a servant of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please engage me in your service. Wow! And I could feel as I was entering more and more, not in a theoretical way, but in a practical way, this understanding, a whole world opened. It was as if a curtain which was covering my eyes from before was opening, and I saw what really is there. The prayer is like this. We will have our little orchestra ready. The content of this prayer, and after you have done this, we will close this session by singing in this understanding to Krishna. This is a chance we are now together at the birthday celebration with many devotees who are very serious. I would not have spoken about this if I would not know that you are wanting to make a pronouncement. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my own misfortune, I have turned away from Krishna since time immemorial. Therefore, I have identified myself with my body, wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death. For so long I'm in the material world, just suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now as a result, some unimaginable good fortune, I've met my spiritual master, and out of his mercy he has enabled me to know that I'm really Krishna's eternal servant. He has taught me that I am completely apart from my gross and subtle body. I am so fortunate now that I serve his lotus feet and follow in his footsteps, so that I serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. O Radha Krishna, for in the eternal spiritual world, I surrender to you. Whatever I call mine now is in truth your property only. Everything is for your sake. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing really is meant for my enjoyment. It's all for you. Thank you. this concludes our hidden secrets of bhakti. Let me summarize what we have learned. Srila Rupa Goswami describes that there are three things to do bhakti as a way. Consider bhakti not yet as an achievement, but the way of bhakti, the way of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness. Three things. You think about Krishna, and you use your body and your mind in his service, and you do this in order to give him pleasure. Now, to make this initial bhakti more pure, you need to come to the platform where you understand on my other desires may be there, but I really only desire bhakti as a goal, to be in my relationship with Krishna full of love. And I don't want that this is covered over by material things. Jnana and karma really summarizes all material pursuits. Now, after Rupa Goswami has quoted this Anyabhilashita verse, of which I have just given you a summary, he immediately writes another verse, which is from the Padma Purana, a very famous verse which gives us further instruction on bhakti. I was talking today on the essence of this verse. Let me read it to you. Sarvopadi vinimuktam tatpadadveda nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiya uchate. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is free from all material designations, you know that I am the body, I am mind. And two, one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. Here's another translation by my godbrother Bhanu Maharaj. Bhakti is defined as service to the Lord using the senses. It should be done with the intention of pleasing the Lord, free of other desires and unobstructed by other processes. Yes. So, you need to learn to become free from upadis. That is something which upa means near and di means the intelligence. I had to learn this today. When I came here, I was a little tired, and I always look at the poster of Mirko and Remo, the two modern gladiators who will soon fight the ultimate fight and draw blood, and very brutal, will be very brutal. And I come from a family of warriors, you know. My father was in the army, and so on. So I always looked and I said, my God, Sachinanda Swami, this is so brutal. Why do you look at this poster of this poor, of these two very poor souls, you know? This is near to your mind, near to your intelligence, but you must detach from this. You go to a Nityananda's appearance there, and I said, yes, I'm all right now. I will not look any longer on this poster. This is a little bit what we talk here. There may be so many things close to you, but most of them are illusions and are not good for you. So they are upadis. The verses are this concept of I and mine. These are very close to us, but they are so deceivingly wrong. I mean, they deceive us. And you have to practice, and you have to learn to just do this little meditation. When you do your process, I'm now sitting down, I'm a soul, I'm calling out to you, please engage me in your service. It's very simple, but because it's true, you can go unlimitedly deep according to your advancement. You will discover more and more nuances in this meditation. You will enter a forest of miracles, the divine forest of Vrindavan, and you will see more and more things unfolding before your eyes and becoming clear to you. And the result is, my dear devotees, you will be blissful. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for listening. And now I think we should just make a 2 minutes pause. We can just talk intensely with each other about these points if you wish, or most probably about other points. I will just use the washroom. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nityananda Rama ki jai. Gaurav Premanand ki
jai. His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaja ki jai.